Alleluia. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
What an honor to be among you on this great evening of the Easter Vigil. I'm Chaplain Jonathan Shaw, an LCMS chaplain here with my wife, Brenda. We are privileged to know Pastor McLean and the Techows and others of you more now. Thank you, Pastor, for the gracious invitation. Our text is the appointed Holy Gospel, St. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7, together with the creation narrative read earlier. The historic Easter greeting that the Lord is risen announces to faith the completion of the ages, the washing away of sin, the end of infirmity, the wiping away of tears, the reconciliation of the separated, the fulfillment of human aspiration, the destruction of death itself, the gift of a new, ever-blossoming life of everlasting righteousness and purity. These are the gifts now in faith, one day in flesh, from the resurrection of the eternal Son of God made man, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The promise that the scourged, cross-laden Son made to his mother in the Passion of the Christ, "I make all things new," which is proclaimed by the glorious enthroned Christ in heaven in Revelation 21, "Behold, I make all things new," is what is delivered to the world in this vigil on Easter. Our risen Christ makes all things new. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary set out in the dark. Their master had been mocked, brutalized, crucified, dead, and buried. The greatest miscarriage of justice in history, the righteous one executed in the place of corrupt sinners. The darkness of the crucifixion, underscored by nature's solar eclipse and seismic convulsions, must have been darkest just before that dawn. Our text notes that the ladies were going to Jesus' tomb to see it, to observe it, an inanimate stone marking a beloved life lost, seemingly without purpose, and no one could do anything about it. Which is to say, in the darkness, God was at work. Do you remember? In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. There was only darkness. But in the midst of that darkness, and out of that darkness, God wanted an image of himself, one on whom he could lavish his love and goodness. So the one holy triune God deigned to create the world for the sake of the one on whom he would press his image, for the sake of man, who would know the goodness of his creator. The Father did his distinctive work of willing this to be, being the cause of all that is. The Son did his distinctive work of revealing the will of the Father externally, being the spoken word. And the Spirit did his distinctive work of completing the will of the Father internally, hovering over the face of the waters. Humanity contributed nothing, for God creates out of nothing. All was ready in the darkness. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. On the first day, God created light. On the second day, sea and sky. On the third day, dry land with beautiful grasses, herbs, and trees. On the fourth day, lights in the heavens for seasons and signs and time. On the fifth day, fish and birds filling sea and sky. On the sixth day, wonderful living creatures upon earth. Finally, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. All that God made was very good, brought out of the darkness by the will of the Father, revealed in the Son, completed in the Spirit. The pinnacle of creation was man, Adam and Eve, bearing the image of God, walking in the righteousness of faith before him, enjoying his goodness. And on the seventh day, God rested from his labor and sanctified the Sabbath. Soon Adam and Eve were deceived by the serpent and fell into sin, selfishness, moral decay, physical corruption, and death. Their children were born in their image, inheriting their sin and adding their own, as have we, by wrath, grudge, and lust. The giving of the Old Testament law at Sinai confirmed the sinner's damning debt and destiny who failed to love and trust in God above all things, Commandments 1 through 3, and love his neighbor as himself, Commandments 4 through 10. The third commandment was perhaps the strange one, requiring rest on the Sabbath under penalty of death to any man or beast that violated this. God himself had rested on the seventh day after his work of creation, and so would man. As with all of his commandments, the full meaning would have to wait until Christ. So it was that our Lord Christ entered through Jerusalem's golden gate on Palm Sunday, just as God began the first creation on Sunday. In 6 days, Christ would do all the work needed for salvation, for the new creation. He entered triumphantly as the lowly Messiah. He cleansed the temple. He preached the word. He cared for us poor. He washed the feet of us sinners. He prayed for us. He instituted the Blessed Supper of his body and blood for us. He received our betrayal. He was arrested, mocked, scourged in our place. The Father abandoned him instead of us. He suffered the just punishment of divine wrath for our sins. And paying the full price, he died. The just for the unjust. And after he completed the 6 days of work, his perfect obedience, his substitutionary suffering and death, his divine compassion without limit, after he revealed the entire will of the Father for us, on the seventh day, on the Sabbath, he lay down and he rested from his labors in the tomb. And God saw that it was very, very good. This was the reason for the third commandment all along, that he might rest for us, and that we, his new creation, might find rest in him. This was the reason that the first creation was 6 days and God rested on the seventh. For as it is written, the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. And this is the reason that according to liturgical time, each day starts at sundown, when man ceases from his labors, so that God may bring out of the darkness the new day of beauty and goodness in Christ. The Easter angel descends from heaven with an earthquake, for the former world is shaken. He appears as lightning, his clothes as white as snow, God's warrior to roll back the stone of death and open the now empty tomb. The guards shake and pass out as dead men, for they are allied with sin and death. The angel, for his part, takes the position of authority and sits down on top of the stone to preach to the women. He tells them, "These guards have a reason to fear, but you do not. I know you are seeking Jesus the crucified. Yes, he is the crucified one whose crucifixion stands for all time. His blood atoning for your sins and for the sins of the whole world. Thanks be to God. But you must not seek him here in the old world of corruption, but above in the new creation through faith." The angel proclaims, "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, 'Come, see the place where the Lord lay.'" Indeed, hallelujah, the Lord is risen. The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is God the Father's amen to the words of Christ on the cross, "It is finished." The kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ is complete. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Christ's perfect righteousness has overcome our sin. His indomitable life as the eternal Son of God has overwhelmed death itself. The sin, the death, and the devil of this corrupted world stand defeated. In baptism, we are baptized into the death of Christ so that like he was raised up from the dead by the glory of God the Father, even so now we may also walk in newness of life. And not only that, but if we are united with him in a death like his, we shall also be united like him in a resurrection like unto his. We are part of a lovely, a new creation springing from the rose of Sharon. As St. John of Damascus wrote, and as we shall soon sing, "'Tis the spring of souls today. We are made new by faith in Jesus, whose life flows into us by word and sacrament." The Easter angel sermon ends by focusing on these means of grace as where we should look to see the risen Christ. The angel says to the women, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him." Galilee was at the heart of Jesus' ministry. Galilee is where he would soon gather his disciples on a mountain. Galilee is where the Lord would ordain them apostles, authorizing them in his place to make disciples of all nations by baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and by preaching the gospel of his reconciliation, life, and peace. The new creation is like the first pristine creation in that God does all the work and it is all very good. He brings light and life out of the darkness. The Father graciously wills it, the Son reveals it by his words and deeds, and the Spirit completes it internally in us through faith. But the new creation in the risen Christ is yet higher than the first creation. For in it we are raised up as Christ's brethren. In baptism, Jesus grafts us into his body. In the sacrament of the altar, he feeds us with the food of immortality. And in his resurrection, he transforms our tomb into his tomb, the very portal to the gates of heaven. As Paul Gerhardt wrote in his Easter hymn, "He brings me to the portal that leads to bliss untold." whereon this rhyme immortal is found in script of gold. Who there my cross hath shared, finds here a crown prepared. Who there with me hath died, shall here be glorified. Alleluia. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.